don't know. Were you listening? We first we were talking about how Matt brought this up. How all the people and all the foods, they took out all the diverse people and they left the Quaker Oats man. So there's literally just a white guy remaining. and then there's that meme with the Lando Lakes, and it said, have you heard it? It's like, we've removed the Indian but kept the land or something. That was the meme or something.
So it's so but, that's right. Well, then I guess I gotta play the audio here from that right, the TikTok. It's just so freaking good. Hold on.
There's one smiling face I don't see. Where is my daughter?
For those who can't see this, it says, "Land O' Lakes keeps the land, evicts Native American woman."
Yeah, because it, yeah, if you look up a picture of the logo, yeah, there's no Native American on it anymore, so.
Oh my gosh. This is so effed up.
No Uncle Ben, no Aunt Jemima, just the Quaker Oats guy.
That's right.
It's like they're trying so hard to be like not racist that they went full circle and became racist. It's so funny.
You know what? These black people on this food is racist. We don't want black people on food. What about the Quaker Oats guy? We'll keep him. He's a staple. That's basically what it seems like.
It's very funny.
You're right. They went full circle. Yeah. Never go full retard.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Really? I can't remember. How long ago did they remove the Land O'Lakes lady?
Oh, like a year or two ago.
It's so dumb. And it's like, Washington Red, you know, like, was it the Washington Redskins?
I don't know.
I'm not a sports person, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, that's racist. Native Americans are like, we don't think so. We don't give two flying craps about it. And then they're like, gotta remove it anyways. Yeah. Now we're just, what is it? The Washington?
Custers.
General
Custers.
That's probably where they're going to go through next.
That's the Babylon Bee made
that's
joke
right,
of.
Babylon Bee.
Yeah. That way, the white guys are being represented or something. I don't know. They put some funny, clever spin on it. It's so funny. They keep getting rid of all this representation that they view as offensive.
Well, and then.
But no one else views it as offensive.
It's so dumb. Like, you're so woke, you're retarded. Well, it's like a Babylon Bee talking about the great white shark. There is now a new swimmer. Her name is Bruce. She is a great white shark.
Yeah.
It's like she is literally killing the competition.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Okay.
You're listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
Alright, so today's episode, you jerk, is about how we show love in the worst ways possible. Just in general, as human beings, right, we tend to think we're doing the right thing, right? We think we're doing, I guess, maybe even saying that we show love in the worst ways possible. What I really mean is we do the wrong things for the right reasons all the time. Like, we think we're doing something loving or good, and yet we just compound the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my wife will kill me if she ever hears this, but it's like when our son, when he was, I think he was about 3 at the time, maybe 4, really hurt his arm really bad. Like, he was just like, milking it, like, oh, like, he didn't want to move it very much and stuff. Doctors didn't say anything was broken. So, like, what do we do? And so I'm working, and she had wrapped it up. Like, I took like a bandage wrap that you might use on your knee or something like that, you know,
okay,
compress it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She basically compressed his whole forearm area ish. And cut the circulation off to his hand for like a day and a half.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, babe, his hand looks really bad. What the heck is going on? Like, maybe it wasn't a day and a half. It might have been just a day, but like his hand was like swollen and looking really bad. I was like what you just did. I know you're trying to help him with his pain, but you may have just killed his hand. And I had to spend like the rest of that evening, like putting his hand in hot water, massaging it out, and then putting it into cold, right? Trying to get the veins open up and the circulation coming through. And I still spent days after that massaging it because it was stayed swollen. It was like really scary. But you know, that's what we do sometimes. Sometimes we do the wrong thing for the right reason. And that's, you know, that's a silly sort of example. And my son lost his hand. We call him One Hand Willie now. Willie. But I feel like we are in such a place now. We have so much wealth, right? We're so well off compared to the history of the world, compared to anyone else in the world, that it becomes almost like a habit to consciously do the wrong thing for the right reasons, because it makes us feel better, but it also keeps us from actually being involved in the right ways, from actually being responsible and accountable for what we're doing for people. I think the number one way, Rob, is people going, yeah, we should have those safety net programs, and they vote for more and more, when that's just you being lazy. You know, it's like, why don't you go serve in a food kitchen? Why don't you go proselyte door to door teaching people how to change their lives? I mean, Christian missionaries do it all the time, right? And if we had more people like that, where it's like, hey, I could teach you a program to improve yourself, right? You evangelize these things. That's better than saying, you know what, we should take more money from everyone, create more programs to take care of these people in a way that doesn't actually take care of them, because I love them, I care about them, and then you're never involved.
Talking about like charities.
Charities. It's the opposite of charity, right? Once you use the government, it's not charity anymore.
Well, charities, I'm talking about like nonprofit.
The more programs you put out there and stuff, the more, if you give everything to people, then they will never learn to feed themselves. They never learn to change themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just like, there's a big reason why there are so many young people, millennials and others below that, who live with mommy and daddy. Like a large percentage. And why? Because mommy and daddy didn't love you enough to kick you to the curb. I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. they didn't. That mommy and daddy didn't love you enough to go through the pain of raising you right.
Amen.
They love themselves more. Because I'm a parent, I know, and you know, we have parents, we've lived through that. We know that it's an uncomfortable thing, and it's a fight, it's a struggle to tell your kids, you got to be independent, right? To stop helping us, to wean us off from their help more and more as we are getting older, until we graduate and our parents were like, once you've graduated, you're out. Like, you're out of this house. And, you know, no more food. No more car. And your pets' heads are falling off. And I feel like we are destroying ourselves out of a false sense of love. What do you think, Rob?
I don't know. What do you mean by destroying ourselves, like individually, or just you mean as a nation?
As a nation, but that happens one individual at a time, right? Mm. One community at a time, and then one state at a time. You get dumb states like California where they go, oh yeah, everyone gets healthcare. Oh, you're homeless. Well, let's give you designated places where you can set up your crack camp. Let's give you some tents you might need.
Yeah.
It's like, well, and even there was a program, I think it was in the 90s, where they came up, they had an idea. I don't know if they actually implemented it, but the idea was they would build ramps for homeless people so they could get inside of the dumpsters so they could sleep somewhere safe from the elements. Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
That's awesome.
The only reason why I know about this is I watched some random old interview of someone interviewing Rush Limbaugh. I think it was some really big lefty on national television. And they brought it up and he said, well, it's the ridiculousness of this idea that, oh, I love you enough, I'm going to give you a ramp so you can hop up inside that dumpster, bro. Right. Cover yeah. yourself up with the trash. Keep warm. In what way is that actually showing love? Like, yeah, and that's why he was saying he was critical of those ideas and makes fun of them so hardcore. And people were like, well, you're just mean and unkind and uncaring. It's like, what's real care? That I want them to improve their lives in such a way that they don't live on the streets, or that I give them a ramp to live yeah. in the trash more easily, or a ladder, a ramp, something like that.
So you're saying that people think the solution is just have the government take more money to solve all these problems?
That's the route they must go in order to create the programs that keep them uninvolved. Huh. I mean,
to keep who uninvolved? The individual,
the general populace, the middle class, you know, everyone in the community.
Hmm.
It's so much easier to be like, oh, look at that poor person on the street. Let's pray for them, right? I feel like the only thing worse than that, than a Christian or any religious person who says that and does nothing to help them, is the member of that community who says, look at that person. How can I rob Peter and Paul to give them things that aren't going to improve their life but make me feel good about it? Like, oh, it's so awful to see them that way. Could we build more homeless shelters? Right. It's like, no.
So you're saying like it's enabling homeless people, not solving their problem?
Yeah, it's not just homeless people, right? The overarching theme here is that we go about the wrong ways of helping people. And the homeless and those who are impoverished are the biggest examples of that.
Hmm.
Even if they're not homeless, right? But they're living in a trailer park or something and they're struggling to get by. We know what it's like to live in a trailer park. For anyone listening, we do know.
Yeah, that's right.
I was born in a trailer park. I was born in a trailer. I'm sorry for the trash, y'all.
That's right.
What do you mean that's right?
We just listened to Kid Rock and Eminem. Oh my gosh,
no, not Kid Rock. Never liked his music.
But he's conservative.
Yeah, but
somehow you have to like it.
I feel like that is the worst thing that we could do, though, is to say, well, let's take more from people, let's leverage our wealth to be so uninvolved. And I think it would probably be less of a problem if we were to create programs that taught people, right, that didn't give them just straight up handouts of the physical form, but enable like empowered them to change their lives, right? Like I was saying before, evangelize them, because that's what they need. That would be less. I think it's the best scenario is that we can all get involved to some degree. We all know each other's neighbors. We are friends with one another. We help each other out. Right? Yeah. We really do bless one another by our association with one another, by interacting. I mean, one of the things that we do in our church, right, we go and minister to each other. We make sure everyone's okay.
I got to put a reminder in my phone.
One second. Are you serious? This isn't even a fact. I thought you were just acting for a minute.
No.
You're actually putting this. Okay.
I remembered this on Sunday and then I forgot to put it in my phone.
Anyways, but that's what we do, right? We make sure people are taken care of. And then when they need help, we help. And we try to do that beyond just our immediate congregation, but to anyone. But that's a very simple way where we are checking in on one another and we rally behind one another to help each other. And it can be hard to do that at a personable level, but we have to get away from trying to use money like it is the Band-Aid of the world. Like it is the healing balm. You know, we treat it like, oh, if we could use our prosperity, people will change. Behaviors will change. The greatest example of that is the Iraqi and Afghanistan wars. Like we go in there and we go, we're going to set up for them a democracy. All we need to do is we got to build schools for them, man. We got to give them this democratic things. Like give them some more wealth, you know, better technology, all this other jazz. And then they will want to be like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a reason why the second we leave areas, they just get
to go back to
exactly normal. What they were before, because wealth does not actually change fundamental human behavior.
Right.
It only exemplifies really like who you are on the inside, right? Or at least when an individual becomes wealthy, the best way I've heard it is wealth doesn't change who you are. It just reveals who you really are when you have no constraints.
Huh.
And
oh no.
Which is why you'll always be poor, Rob.
Oh gosh.
But we do, right? Like we really do treat it like our wealth is going to change people. Like if we could just spread wealth around the world, things get better. And I hate it when we talk about capitalism. We go, look at capitalism. It has raised, you know, the quality of life for people all around the world. Well, technically, but like how does capitalism continue to exist? Oh, I know how. It only exists in environments where people are respecting certain fundamental human rights, mm-hmm. and to have a culture that is Western, that is Christian, Judeo-Christian values based and focuses on those principles. Those sort of nations and environments and nations that adopt that way of thinking, that sort of culture, those are the nations that can actually have capitalism and get the benefits of capitalism. Because ultimately, capitalism is this, you know, we are trying to exchange goods with one another in a free open market. But once you put corruption in there and people are not self, you know, they don't constrain themselves through a sense of morality, well, that's when you have governments go, oh man, this marketplace is so bad. We've got to control it. And then you just spiral downward.
So like less dependence on the individual and more dependence on, well, no faith in the individual. So the government says I have to step in and save the day and we're going to enforce morality. Something like that.
Yeah, but in the end, they don't ever make anything better, truly.
Oh, yeah.
They ingratiate themselves. Then you're like, well, great. It's a spiral, right? Nations throughout history, especially when they are more like what we enjoy here, like Rome is a really good example, you get so prosperous that you forget the values and things that got you to where you were, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like what we are experiencing now, then we start to go, well, everything is whateverism. Believe what you want, think what you want, feel what you want. And believe that you are beautiful in all ways, and you're the other gender than what you are. Like there's no fence posts anymore. There's no boundaries where we go, no, we don't go beyond that. That's unprincipled. That's corrupt. That's wrong. That's evil. This is why I have a big problem with the progressive liberal side, right? I mean, you have people who pretend that anything is okay. But once you go that route, you end up with human beings don't like chaos. We don't like anarchy.
Yeah.
So we will always gravitate towards some form of control. And if that control does not come from within, right there, then it must come from without, which is government.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people go, oh, it is moral relativism. It is whatever we want. Self-control is a thing of the past. Like that's oppressive. And then what happens? Well, then the government steps in. And usually those same people who told you those things are the ones who enforce this new form of morality, which is, you know what? I don't think I like you saying what you think because it disagrees with me and no me gusta.
Yeah.
You know what? Free speech is... You know, free speech is violence. You know, hate speech, crap like that, right? Where they find means of control, because they, and I think this is probably very accurate that because they lack so much self control on the inside, to hear opposing views, is like throwing kerosene on a fire, right? Because it takes a certain level of emotional intelligence and self control to engage in discourse with someone else who disagrees with you,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to manage yourself, manage your emotions and everything else to be like, okay, I can hear these different views. I can get heated or whatever else, but I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to take violence on this person. I don't want to control this person. I may disagree, but everything's going to be all right. When you lack, like once you live a lifestyle of no self-control.
Yeah.
But then you do fear the enforcement of the law, because our current laws say, well, you better not punch Rob in the face for saying his opinion, because that's illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then they go, well, how do I protect myself from hearing these things that cause me to act out when I can't control myself? Hate speech laws. We got to do it. Yeah. And that's where it starts, right? Or that's not actually where it starts, but that's a very good milestone to tell you where you're headed. It actually starts from abandoning your religious moral values.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's always something that takes the stage regarding morality. So if it's not Christianity, then it's this new religion, the woke religion. Have you ran into anybody that you have known who went down that path, the whole woke thing, and have you bumped heads with anyone like that?
Oh, yeah. It becomes very, in some cases, I have no communication with them anymore. It's not because I didn't want to, it's because they would either tell me they don't want to be associated with me anymore, or I would be constantly barraged by them all the time. That I had to just say, because I'm thinking of individuals that I came to really, really love, like people I felt like were like a family member to me. Eventually, I just had to say, I can't even talk to you anymore. Like, you attack me for my opinions, publicly and personally. And really, it hurts so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
I had to step away because this is a very toxic relationship now. I wish and I really want to maintain a relationship with you, but like right now, I just can't, right? It's not like, gosh, you believe that? Well, if you believe that, or if you voted for this guy, then screw you, right? Mm-hmm. That's not me at all. It's literally a toxic relationship in some cases, where I have to say, I'm trying to be the better person, staying here and keep our friendship going.
You should bring him on the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I have him on the phone right now.
Sup, you want to talk? Yeah, you want to talk about like why
you suck?
Why you are so mean? Yeah. Let's get this going. No, that would just be awful.
Sorry, side tangent.
Yes. What?
Oh, just asking you that was a
side tangent. Oh, I thought you meant like you're gonna go on to one now. Yes.
I feel like I had something I was going to say, but I can't.
Let's keep going before you do it.
It's for the best.
Well, Rob, in what ways do you see people do the wrong thing for the right reasons? Or show love in the wrong ways?
What?
Or show care in the wrong ways. It's like, I care about these kids. So if they think, like, if my son thinks he's a girl, then by golly, I'm going to give him hormone blockers. And I'll pay for him to cut off his own...
His own what?
His own...
Don't leave us in suspense.
No, right? Like, it's like...
Yeah.
Say you're a loving parent, but, like, true love has boundaries. Everything has boundaries. Justice has boundaries. Compassion has boundaries.
I had one I could think of. I was getting like lunch with a friend. I was stopping by and visiting, and so we decided to get lunch. And one of the people serving us was a trans person, so it was a girl who thought she was a guy. And so my friend talked to her as if she were a bro, you know, very much validating all that I would call delusions.
It is delusion.
Well, yeah, it's just like...
I'm not trying to be mean.
I don't know if, like, what's the nice... is, you know, because it's just... This is someone I don't know, and I'm going to see him for 2 seconds, and I hope they don't, you know, spit in my soup. So I thought that was weird. I don't know. It was someplace.
Anyways, I don't remember. Keep going.
Yeah. No, this is important. What place?
What soup?
So anyways, what did you ask? Did I deal with somebody Something delusional? No. I don't know. I don't know why that, I brought this up.
Because we're talking about showing care or love in the worst ways possible. Oh, like, yeah. In the wrong ways.
Yeah, so I guess my question is that, was he showing love in the wrong way? Or neutral way or right way? By being so cordial and so nice to this girl who thinks she's a guy, and then
you're saying
her.
he was like really trying to like treat her like she was a bro.
Like, yeah, like, oh, you've been working out, and oh, you know, like just something. I don't know.
I don't know. Because in my mind, it's like, okay, that's just kind of great self flattery, right? Because I could see myself doing that, saying that sort of thing to someone who. They did not think themselves to be the other gender, right? They didn't have that delusion, but mm-hmm. they were a beefy woman who loved working out, right?
Well, this was a old girl who thought she was a guy.
Yeah. So I think in that case, like if I was very sure.
And he was calling her bro.
And I was a very sure thing about that. Yeah, that's not right. I mean, because in the end, like, did you help them? Like, did you actually help their life by helping them, like by furthering their delusion? Mm-hmm. Believing it is true reality when it's not. No, it doesn't. Like you made them feel good and glowy mm-hmm. about a delusion for moments. I don't think you should go in there and be like, you ain't a man! Don't you spit in my soup.
just hit on that person.
No, but right? Like I think we forget that we can show respect without caving to crazy ideologies or to mental illness, right? I don't think of our cousin. Let's say we're hanging out with our cousin and I go, yo, bro, like, and let's say I'm listening to him because he's schizophrenic, talk to one of his things, voices in his head. Now maybe I learned that one of those voices' names is Sam. And I go, yeah, how's it going, man? Yeah, how's Sam doing too? Like, yeah, Sam's great. What'd you say, Sam? Like, right. Like what a sick thing to do. I'm not trying to. Oh man, I sound so all negative, Nancy. But like, it really bugs me. It bugs me at a very, very deep level because you are not actually helping people. Mm-hmm. That's not love. You know, Christ didn't say, "Oh, you love selling your body for money. You like sex. You know, like you love earning money that way.
Cheap prostitute.
Hey, girl, like, yo, girl, I don't understand. Yeah, girl, yeah." Maybe you shouldn't do that, but yeah, girl, no, right?
Uh-huh.
People don't understand that he literally was trying to bring people to a better state of being, even if that meant calling them to repentance, or in this case, where we're talking about mental illness, like, love people and show them respect as an individual. I think that's actually very disrespectful to, how do I put this? I feel like you're playing games. You're playing games fantasy. With someone's mental illness.
Yeah.
That I would feel like I'm playing games with my schizophrenic cousin by doing something like that. I'd feel like if I had a cousin who was thinking they're the other gender, I'm playing games with their fragile mentality. And what they really need is serious psychological help.
Well, it's a weird world we live in now because, you know, 50 years ago, if you saw someone who thought they were the other gender, it's like they would be very insecure and wouldn't be as surprised and taken aback if someone called them by their actual gender, despite them trying to dress up and pretend they're something else. But nowadays it's so affirming and so they're so bold. Now everyone's doing it that it's like treating it like it's normal. And so it's like we're living in a society with a bunch of, yeah, if you replace it with schizophrenics and there's people talking to themselves and then we say, hey, you're not talking to someone. And nowadays with that mentality, they'd be like, what? What are you talking about? Sam's real. And yeah, it's kind of weird how bold society is, how bold these trans people are.
Well, they're just a political vehicle, right? You see any sort of these new subgroups or minority groups, as they call them, they come out. They're just political vehicles for corrupt politicians.
That's true.
That's
yeah.
really what they are, right? It's like I appreciate one thing, one basic thing out of this whole movement that I think is actually not like it's very toxic in many ways. Is the one thing I appreciate out of all this is the fact that it does try to help us remember compassion. Not that the world, Carly, not that our nation or any other nation really understands what the crap compassion is.
Mm-hmm.
But it does help me to remember that I need to have compassion on people, because that is a real struggle. That is a real thing. And they're trying to tell these people, this ain't a struggle. You're beautiful. You're great as you are. But deep down inside, like there's real issues going on. And there we should have compassion, not harshness towards them. My harshness is towards those who are playing games, who are toying with them, using them for political gain, furthering their delusion or mental illnesses, right? Like, I think it's not kindness. That's not compassion. That's not love. That's selfishness. I don't want to come off as looking mean or rude, so I'm just going to affirm their delusion, right? Or like, oh, I love you so much. Vote for me. This guy's a bigot. You're just a vehicle. Mm-hmm. How can I use you? It's like the Democrats all the time when they're like, they have an election coming up. What do we need? Well, what we could use right now is a few good riots. You know, let's get BLM out there. Let's get, you know, like these sort of people out there. Let's get them to do these things. Let's throw in some more controversy. All right. Did we get our election secured? Sweet. We got what we wanted. Okay. Well, time to turn off that narrative, because we need a little less chaos. I mean, even Biden literally told them when he got elected that. Or maybe it was when he was trying to get elected. No, I think it was after he got elected. He said, like, you guys have all done such a good job. Now we need to tone it down. It's like, literally, you said this the quiet part out loud.
That is interesting. You need to create just like a Instagram page or Facebook page or something of where every time you see Democrats doing something that is wicked or conniving and evil, that you just post it.
Not just Democrats, Republicans, like anyone, right? Like,
yeah, well, sure.
It tends to mostly come from,
but it's almost always from Democrats. My point being is, it's just, I have too many friends who vote that way, and it's do they pay attention? Like, do you see how corrupt this is? And I wish I could have these conversations with them, but they're typically the emotional type. But for instance, they just tried to pass the, like, it's called Omnibus Bill or whatever, or something like
which
that.
Which state?
This is in the Capitol right now. So it's
a state Capitol right now?
No.
Oh, this is the national bill.
Yeah. So the House just voted on it or something. I don't know. I don't know all the details super well. All I know is that it got sent to them at like 1 or 2:30 a.m. and they had to vote on it today, and it was 2,700 pages. Like, how corrupt is that?
That's so messed up. That's like Obamacare.
And that stuff that Democrats do. And it's like, you need to create this page, and it'll just be like, it'll be called, I don't know, Why Democrats Are Sketchy. And then every time they do something sketchy, bam, there it is, you know. Like for instance, oh, we need oil, so rather than use ours, which is cleaner and cheaper and makes us stronger, we're going to pollute the environment more by getting it from a sketchy country that doesn't use good technology and is oppressive. And then we have to ship it over, which is more fossil fuels, and hurts the environment.
We're going green.
It's like the idiocracy. It's like, I just wish my liberal friends cared enough to see that.
Well, they can't, right? Because it's a religion, right? That'd be like someone coming to us and being like, you should not ever read the book of Luke. Like, away. Because it's toxic and it's bad. We'd be like, shut up, go here. So when you say, the things they're doing are just manipulative and bad, we'd be like, no, they're not.
So you're saying they don't really have
save
a
our
good foundational set of morals.
They have a belief system that is based upon basically whatever their politicians say. Right? It doesn't matter. Like, facts and those figures don't matter. So here's a really important point to make, and that is, spiritually speaking, right, when we talk about a religion and, you know, we're worshiping, mm-hmm. and human beings, we all have a form of religion. But let's take, like, Christianity. We worship, and we really don't care if people try to prove things by science that God exists or that God doesn't exist. Like, I really don't care. Why? Because my spiritual belief is not dependent upon facts and figures. Mm-hmm. Right? If I can have a confirmation from the Holy Ghost that I know these things are true, I will believe it. And I don't care what other people try to bring, because the spiritual, like, science is not there to replace religion. It can't. It can't replace spirituality. But once you take a non-spiritual form of religion, you're trying to get spirituality out of it. So meaning people will pour their faith into it. They will pour in blind belief. They'll believe in things that typically are things that must, in our, like, as a matter of importance, must be backed up by facts and science and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, because it's their religion, they can say, no, you may not come to me with contradictory facts and science and those sort of things. This is my belief, right? That's what they're doing when they don't listen, when they don't care about those things. It's because they're saying, no, this is my belief. So you can't come to me with those facts and things. That doesn't matter. And what we're trying to say is, yo, bro, get your religion, separate your religion from your politics, because politics really does rely upon knowing facts and relying upon facts and making wise, informed decisions, not these faith-based, you know, these sort of decision things, right?
Yeah, and emotional.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, it's really interesting. If you notice the pattern, right, with all these ways in which we're trying to show that we love and we care about people, it's always the exact wrong thing. It's always poisonous rather than healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, for it's like, oh, you want to, you think you're, let's go back to the transgender thing. I'm not trying to beat up on that so much, but it's a very, it's like Land O'Lakes is a very good example. We care so much about these Native American people. We shouldn't, what's the word they use? We shouldn't be culturally appropriating them. I put an image of them on this thing. Let's just get rid of them entirely. And represent the land they once have, but they don't have. you go full circle. Oh, you think you are this gender? Well, instead of doing, like, taking care of your body is really important. But let's ignore that general rule for a moment and let you just put things in yourself, cut yourself up, and then you're beautiful, right? Then you're great. Then you're brave. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't need to change what you're doing. You just need more food stamps. You need free internet. Dang, you need free AC, Wi-Fi, all these things. It's like
entitlement.
Yeah, it's like you don't need to change. You just need these things, right? It's literally a poison to someone's character. Hmm. Literally a poison. Try not to cough. You should say something.
Poison is bad. It kills you.
I always rely upon you to not help me out.
That's right. Good thing this isn't the Robert Spicer show.
Well, who's he?
Yeah, maybe you should introduce me when we're talking. No one even knows who I am.
Well, they've been listening along. They have. This, if, yeah. Yeah, that's true. You're right. I've done a really
yeah. Introduce me every show.
What if I don't want to?
Dang it!
This what is.
If I don't want to show up.
This is Rob Spicer, and he is my brother, which is why we are so congenial with one another, and we tease each other. Mm-hmm. But I'm the older brother and I'm always right. And, Robert was the spoiled brat younger brother. That's all you really need to know about us. He's not the spoiled brat anymore, but, he's still getting through it, guys. He's still trying to chew on that silver spoon.
So that's an example of moral relativism. Alex thinks he knows what's what. But you're full of crap, and you're of the devil.
I'm of the devil. Okay, so, Rob, let's talk about the movie of the week real quick. You and me, what did we go see?
I saw, This was last week that we saw it, but we saw Uncharted, that movie with what's his face, Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland, and it was good. It was kind of like a mix between a Marvel movie and Indiana Jones, so it has all that. But no, it's kind of like The Hobbit meets Indiana Jones, where there's so much CGI, physics doesn't really play a role, but really adventurous and really fun, and the kind of like clues and ancient stuff. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting a whole lot of, I didn't have high hopes because I didn't play the video game, and the trailer pretty much sets it out pretty clear that it's not going to be super realistic, because there's like these ships in the trailer where they put straps around them.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't stand that.
And
part.
Then they just fly out these hundreds of year old ships with helicopters that's been, you know, disintegrating in the Philippines, but for some reason it holds together fine. So it's like I wasn't expecting much because I was in the trailer, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. They didn't put a lot of woke stuff in it, and I
did appreciate that. There wasn't much of that.
Yeah, I mean, there was like one of the main antagonists was this like this thin woman who's like somehow can beat up every man.
Seriously, it was like oh crap.
But then there's this scene where Mark Wahlberg picks her up and throws her against the glass and it breaks.
That was the most satisfying thing in this whole movie. I was like, that's realistic. Like, this girl's like trying to choke him out and punch him.
Yeah.
It's like,
and he just picks her up and throws her like a ragdoll. It's so funny. It's like, okay, now we're getting realistic. But it's very entertaining. I really liked it. I hope they do another one because I liked it that much. And aside from that, I also saw The Batman yesterday. Part of it.
I'm saying I never saw it, but like, well, tell us about it, right? I'm saying because of what you told me.
So yeah, this is like the new Batman movie. It's like the fourth Batman movie they've done in like 4 years. I just feel like there's always a new Batman and they just can't seem to figure it out. Like, ever since Christopher Nolan, they're like, crap, what do we do? Let's try this. Didn't work. Let's try this. Didn't work. Let's try this. Didn't work. And it's just like so annoying. They just keep milking it. So anyways, watch the movie. I honestly didn't really have a desire to watch it, but I kept seeing really good reviews. And then I had some free time and I'm like, well, I'll go to the matinee, save some money and watch it and see if these reviews are telling the truth. And it was, I knew it was a 3-hour movie.
God, which is crazy. 3 hours.
So yeah, so I went to go see it, and like an hour in, I'm like, oh man, I'm starting to lose focus. Like, I'm like getting bored. And then like another 45 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I'm losing focus. I'm getting bored. 2 hours in, getting bored. And then,
wow.
And then after like 2.5 hours, and it's like, you know, building to this apex of the movie. Not really. I was just like, I am so bored. And so I just left. And I never leave movies. So that's saying a lot. And it just felt super dark, I suppose. But also, it just felt like it was trying so hard to be real that it lost that magic that you experience when you're watching any Batman movie.
Well, so the reason why people go and want to watch superhero movies is because they want to escape reality. You don't want to make it so real. You're like, I guess I could have been Batman, right? Like in a real sense, right? Like everyone wants to identify with the hero, but if it's so similar to reality, it's so mundane, and people are trying to escape the mundane aspects of their life by going to a movie, you make it mundane like that, it's like, did I just step back into my real life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I do not recommend it. I thought it was garbage, and I should have went with my gut and just know that
the first 30 minutes.
Well, no, my gut was, I have no desire to watch another Batman movie. I just don't care. I'm just so over superhero movies. I didn't even want to watch it. And then after getting the propaganda of this movie. Well, I don't know. Propaganda is not the right word. It's just the fake hype. All these reviews.
All the paid reviews. Of
yeah,
like,
the
it's the best movie
paid
ever.
Reviews. Yeah, 9.9 out of 10. And, oh, it's a box office hit. And it made so much money. And everyone loves it. And look at this. And, oh, it's getting the series on the side. And it's just like, oh, my gosh. I just don't care. Now that I've seen it. So don't ever believe those reviews. Don't ever believe those reviews.
Yeah, wait for the Rotten Tomatoes. Isn't it Rotten Tomatoes is the more accurate
there
one?
There is like a audience score. Yeah, but I don't know. Even now, audience. It's getting harder. I feel like everyone's just drinking the Kool-Aid. And now they're like...
They're trying to be woke, that right? Movie's like, good. That was great. Like, why was it great? Representation. Okay, everything you just said is invalid now.
Perhaps, yeah. So maybe that's how it is. I just noticed that being in the theater, there were there was a lot of high schoolers, but there's these girls in front of me on their phones like the entire time, and kept taking pictures. And the one's phone, whenever it'd start ringing, it was on that setting where the flash keeps flashing.
Oh my goodness.
And it was just kept going off, and it was just like, you idiots, why are you here? And then luckily it stopped for enough for me to watch the movie and realize this is garbage. That being said, I felt really bad because I could tell they put a lot into it, and it seemed like it had a high budget, and the actors did a good job. It just wasn't good, and I feel bad, but that's just how it is. So sorry.
So let's go back to Uncharted then. Uncharted. I used to call it Uncharted.
Oh.
No, Rob. It was pretty good, though. It being like the Indiana Jones, right? Sort of feel. It was like Indiana Jones meets...
The Hobbit.
Meets a Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie. That's kind of what it felt like, a little bit.
Hmm.
No,
like maybe, a Marvel movie with all the CGI.
No, maybe like semi Fast and Furious before it became a little bit too ridiculous, right? Like probably like the middle of the Fast and Furious movies.
Hmm.
I think it was almost like that, like Fast and Furious meets Indiana Jones, because it became somewhat bank heisty like, which Fast and Furious basically became just about bank heisting people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it had that adventurous aspect, but I was way turned off. But at the end, I was like, are you serious? These flying ships?
Oh, well, we all saw it coming in the trailers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert. I know Rob already mentioned it before, but wait, I never saw that in the trailers. That was, really?
Yeah, I did. I never saw surprised or anything.
Oh, really? Oh. Well, maybe that's why I didn't bug you as much. I was like, here we go. Are you serious? Wood. that's you know, like 700-year-old wood in the Philippines. I've lived in the Philippines. Ain't no wood gonna live that long in the Philippines. Cockroaches everywhere. Cockroaches. just like all over the place.
How do you see cockroaches? And
I was afraid you're gonna ask me that because I do not remember. I'm like,
well.
What is the word for cockroach in Hiligaynon? I don't remember. We'll just say la cucaracha. Español.
Could you do a whole podcast in Ilongo?
Not a good one.
You should.
Any Filipino who'd listen to it would be like, loser. Why is this child doing a podcast? Not bad for a little kid. That's how my language would be now. I speak like a kid, where I mess up everything and I simplify it. They'd be like, he really went the long way of saying that. You could have just said this, right? It's like,
okay.
My kids go, not yesterday, but yesterday. I mean, I was like, you mean 2 days ago? You could have just said 2 days ago. Right? That's how I would be speaking to Ilongo at this point.
Oh, maybe. Gotcha.
Yeah. Dao bata. Like a baby.
That's all I remember.
Why did I ever teach you that? Anyways, yeah, they end up in the Philippines, and that ship thing, I was like,
we should go.
How the heck is that helicopter keeping it? I don't know. It was a fun movie. It was good. I felt like the best part was in Barcelona, Spain.
And it was funny.
And then
too.
After that, it was like, me. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Scottish guy was.
That was pretty good. Funny.
Oh, I'll show you a real Scottish whipping now. Like, I don't know what you're saying.
Excuse me?
But that other guy, the other henchman, yeah, you didn't notice him. He was bugging the crap out of me.
Nope. I didn't notice.
There's like two main henchmen, right? There's the bad guys, but then you have these two kind of just meaty henchmen guys. They're just big. They're strong looking. they don't look like they're weightlifters or anything like that. They just are bodybuilders. They just look like rough and tough guys. And one of them, like the Scottish guy was really cool, but the other guy, he could not act to save his bloody life. Like, I was convinced, because every time he came on screen, I couldn't help but notice him. I'm like, oh, my crap, what am I watching here? I was convinced he had to have been the director's nephew. And the director's like, sorry, but his dad gave us a lot of money for this, and if I don't give him a important enough role in enough scenes, they're going to withdraw their funding. Like, I don't know, or the producer's nephew or son. It's just like, it was just so bad. I mean, what's her face? Does something evil. I'll try not to give too much away in the movie, but does something really bad, and he's in the background going, like smiling, like, oh yeah, sister. I'm like, oh, just, you look like a cornball. You are corny. That's what I'm saying by cornball.
Corn pop.
Corn pop. I, Biden, I was that corn pop. What? Ukraine is a country, but it's a small country. And Russia Stop. Is a bigger country.
I get it.
Yeah, she went full retard. Sorry, I keep quoting. Yeah, I keep quoting that movie. For those of you who have never seen Tropic Thunder, see it. And for those of you who are like me, try to watch things cleaner, use VidAngel. It is hilarious. It's so good. It was back before everything was too woke that you couldn't make fun of things that are just great to make fun of. It's fun to make fun of things that you're just like, oh, no one can talk about it. Whatever. We'll just do it.
Right, yeah. It was a good movie.
It was. So, scripture of the week, right? Been reading in Genesis chapter 33. So the background to this is you have Jacob and Esau. They're twins. Esau was technically born first, so he's supposed to get the birthright. He's supposed to receive the inheritance of his father, both priesthood blessing wise and the things his father has. But Esau clearly doesn't really care about following the commands of his father and God, and doesn't care much for his birthright. In fact, he sells his birthright to Jacob for some pottage, for a bowl of soup, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it still seems like his father is still going to give the birthright, give the blessing to Esau. So under the direction of his mom, Jacob dresses up and tries to present himself as Esau. His dad's blind. He can't see. His dad blesses him. And even after his dad realizes that that was not Esau and he gave it to Jacob, he actually says, well, that's really God's will anyways. Hmm. So he doesn't revoke the blessing. But that leaves Esau PO'd, right? He's just, what the heck? And actually wanted to kill Jacob. And Jacob flees to a different country. And there he falls in love with his uncle's daughter.
His cousins.
Back then it was very different.
He was living the life.
Alabama. But he falls in love with... sorry, I'm like
trying the to... The hotter of the two cousins.
with Rachel.
We all have
Works
that.
7 years for her. And doesn't get her, right? And then...
Well, he does. He thinks.
In the beginning, yeah, he doesn't.
He gets duped by his uncle.
That's right. That's right. He gets duped by his uncle,
for
but...
the uglier sister.
you're the worst.
Well, there must be a reason.
Yeah, he gets and then tricked. He but goes, either way, not the, so real, bad. The real background that matters is he ends up with a large family. He has many livestock, many animals he takes care of. That's his wealth. He has a lot of wealth. The Lord has blessed him greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord tells him, we'll go back home now. And he's like, oh, geez, like, what do I do, though? My brother wanted to kill me last I knew. We left on bad terms.
Mm-hmm.
And he's praying, asking the Lord for help. And he gets the idea, well, I'm going to create different groups. Because they found out Esau is coming with a group of, like, a lot of men, like, a lot of warriors, it seems like. So, like, crap, is he going to just massacre us? So let's split up into groups. Each group will have a set of a flock or a herd with us, or a portion of it. And if he ends up killing the first group, then everyone else tries to run away, and we try to preserve at least some of our family. That's really what it came down to. But
so what's the scripture?
This is still tying into it.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's in Genesis 33 at this point. So there are like three groups I might be misremembering. Maybe it's four. I thought it was three. Yeah, but so the first one passes by Esau, and each one are told they're supposed to tell him the same thing, which is like, if he says, you know, whose are these? He says, well, these are my lord Jacob's. You know, who's yonder that way. Mm-hmm. But these are for you. You know, like this is a gift he's giving to you. The next group he comes across, it's the same thing. Eventually, when he finally gets to Jacob, I really like this because this is really a family coming together again story. A family setting aside their differences and trying to make up for it. It's really interesting. So Esau, you know, draws near to him, and Joseph and his wife Rachel, they bow themselves down. Verse 8, he says, and he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? So this is Esau talking. And Jacob said, and he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Jacob is calling Esau his Lord, taking a subservient stance, saying, I'd rather be your servant. These are all yours. These are for you. And I love how Esau, his heart is clearly softened by this point. We don't know if it took all those herds to get there. Maybe he was angry at the beginning, then finally realized his brother just wants to be his brother again. But in verse 9, it says, and Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And, you know, Jacob in verse 10 goes on. He's just like, no, like really take these. This is a gift for you. And he ensures that Esau takes it. And that shows the sincerity.
Spoilers.
Yeah. That shows a lot of sincerity, though. We think so often that apologizing and making up for things is merely word-based. Maybe a quick hug. But what if the feelings run really deep? And what if maybe you did the thing wrong, or maybe you technically caused a wrong, but were innocently did so, and you're not trying to be the bad person? Like, I don't think Jacob was trying to be a bad person when he got the birthright. Mm-hmm. He clearly should have gotten the birthright anyways, because of his character, because of him wanting to follow the Lord. But instead of being like, well, Lord, you want me to go back there? My brother wants to kill me. Please give me the power to whip his butt, right? Instead, he goes, well, I'll give him basically all my wealth, like tons of my wealth as a gift to him. I'll bow down to him, say I'm willing to serve him because I want us to be together again. I want us to be a family. I don't want there to be these factions. And do we ever really go out of our way enough, especially for those who matter really dearly to us, like family members? Are we really willing to, as the scriptures say, condescend? And I say condescend not like in a negative way, but Christ, you know, he descended below all things. He condescended unto men, meaning he was willing to go down to them and be, you know, live with us on earth. Suffer with us and even experience our pains and our sorrows through the atonement, right? He went below all things. He was willing to come down and serve us. The greatest of all was willing. So we shouldn't think of ourselves so greatly that we can't serve and be willing to sacrifice in maybe sometimes great ways to heal a relationship. Not everyone, it's not going to work every time, right? And I think you should consult with the Lord like Jacob did. But I think there's a lot of healing that can be done if we really put in the effort. Because it's not always just going to be like, sorry, bro, fist bump, all right. there's so much more, there's a lot more depth to human emotion. And we can hold on to feelings for quite a long time. What do you think, Rob?
Sorry, I'm a little tired.
No, you're fine. Just want to make sure I didn't miss your thoughts there. So that's the scripture for the week. Honestly, book of the week, I recommend if you are someone who is trying to run his own business in any degree, maybe you just run an Airbnb. Man, I kind of sound like I'm sounding like an ad.
Yeah, it
does. Do you run an Airbnb? Are you a small business owner? I'm just saying, if you run any sort of business in any small degree even, read this book, Profit First, by Michael Michalowicz. It's really, really good.
P-R-O-P-H-E-T?
Yeah. P-R-O-F-I-T. Profit. As in make a profit.
I know. I'm just messing.
Profeta primero. I don't speak Spanish. If you read this, you're going to learn some really, really cool ways to ensure that you run your business and your business doesn't run you. You keep yourselves profitable without without going the natural way where we find reasons to expand and spend money in ways that our business doesn't need. It's basically the approach, but in a very practical, detailed way you can follow along. The approach of believing that in all ways you can find a path to reducing expenses. Because we always live in like we can't reduce our living expenses or our work expenses. But in real life, it's easier to reduce your living expenses and actually harder to increase your profits or your revenue. But you technically increase your revenue and your profit when you reduce your costs. That's a very easy way to do it in your own personal life. That's what Dave Ramsey is all about. He's like, pay off these debts as fast as you can, all this other stuff. And maybe your actual income that you make at your job doesn't go up, but the income that you get to keep for yourself goes up, which expands your wealth. It's kind of like that for a business, though. You'd look at everything from a profit-first stance, and if it doesn't line up with the numbers that you need, then you find ways to reduce your expenses and get along without it. Because truthfully, we're pretty savvy. We can find ways to succeed. I really like it because, I run my own business, and it's like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. It's really cool. So if you're gonna read any book, I recommend reading Profit First by Michael McCallowitz. Well, okay, so I was gonna share games, but Rob is fading fast. He's passing out here, so we'll just maybe we'll talk about it next time. I was gonna talk about us playing King's Corner. That's a good game we should recommend sometime. It's pretty fun. But we'll get to it another time, maybe next time. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked anything Rob said, don't comment. I don't want to hear about it. Just if you liked it, please leave a review and give us 5 stars. Help us to reach more people. That is one of the fastest ways we can reach more people, is by getting more 5-star reviews. There have been poopy people out there. Really poopy people out there who have just left bad reviews without any sort of comments. If you didn't like it, I want to know. I prefer that you help me improve my podcast in the ways that it could be improved by just emailing me, contact@alexspicer.com. I love to hear ways which, if you are enjoying this content but you think there are better things that could happen, tell me. But do like and follow. Subscribe to the channel, podcast channel on iTunes or SoundCloud or Spotify. And we will all talk to you next week. Live free until next time.